Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. All right. We are in the final week of the liturgical year. Not only is Thanksgiving on Thursday, not only is Christ the King behind us, but the first Sunday of Advent, and that's also on Sunday, December the 1st, is coming up. Lots of things happening this week. And I've got a few stories to share, some encounters I've had that also broke open some interesting, I don't know, comments and insights that I'm going to share with you today. Back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. And Lord, give us the grace to not take you for granted, not to take the gift of this day for granted, or our faith for granted. Lord, we do love you, and we long to love you more, to serve you better, to have you be in the forefront of our lives and of our thinking. Lord, help us to be encouraged by the path that we have today. And again, Lord, I pray for those who might be a little bit overwhelmed by things that are happening in their lives, those who are anxious about current circumstances, situations, or relationships. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring a sense of refreshment and light and peace into our lives, into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come. May your kingdom come, O Lord. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, what am I going to do today? Three different conversations I want to summarize for you. And again, these aren't just about you hearing about a conversation, but about the things that were shared led to, I think, things that are valuable and worth reflecting on that will hopefully be a help to you today in growing your faith. So the first was the breakdown that led to a breakthrough. There you go, a breakdown that led to a breakthrough. And there was a dear friend of mine who introduced that phrase to me. This was pretty much almost 20 years ago. And he talked about that. He talked about that the way in which the greatest breakthroughs occurred would only often follow after the greatest breakdowns. And that's not one of those messages like, oh, what a happy person. I'm praying for you to have a breakdown. No, we're not praying for that. But when we do pray for a breakthrough, even like a radical breakthrough, we can be praying that the Lord would do what he needs to do to have a breakthrough occur, which might also end up meaning a breakdown. And so when I have people say they want to see a loved one come to faith, return to faith, be freed from a relationship, overcome an addiction, a bondage, a brokenness, something happening in their lives, I'll say, pray for a breakthrough. And then I'll say, pray that the Lord does it gently. Pray that the Lord would do it gently. And it's not as if the Lord doesn't get it, right? Jesus understood everything that we go through, but he also does ask for our cooperation, our involvement, and he does honor our prayers. And I think that there is something to that, that we recognize when we are praying for a big conversion, a big transformation, a big breakthrough, that we ought to have our eyes wide open. that big breakthrough might only follow after a real breakdown. Something just falls apart. And it's walking through that situation of something falling apart that became the opportunity, the doorway, that which made possible the good thing that came from it. I'm going to give you a really, let's say, not very profound example of it, but it had a big impact on me. It was a beautiful and timely way that the Lord sent a messenger into my life. And this breakdown was the result of the big windstorm and rain. What do they call that? A rain cyclone that hit the west side. And it caused a power outage for Sacred Heart Radio. And so for a couple of days, Sacred Heart Radio was having difficulty having its transmitters up. And so its signal was down, and there was power outages for certain portions of the footprint of Sacred Heart Radio. And one of the things that happened as a result of that was that people would call and would say, I can't hear anything. Hey, Ron, right? So you have these beautiful, dear, faithful listeners who would reach out to the station and say, I don't know if you realize this, but the station isn't on the air. So it just happened that a few nights ago, I got a phone call. And the phone call, the person was calling, reaching out to me through my real estate website. That was the number that they had somehow remembered, written down, and reached out to me and said, Tom, I'm trying to reach Ron Belter, the general manager, to let him know that the station is down. And I didn't listen to the voicemail. I just responded to the phone call. And I got to meet the sweetest listener of Sound Insight and Sacred Heart Radio, a beautiful, dear, sweet listener of Sacred Heart Radio. Her name's Sheila. And I ended up calling her, and we had the sweetest conversation. She talked to Carrie. Carrie prayed with her, which was so beautiful. They got to pray together. And so I felt like I was missing out. So when I took the phone back, I prayed with her too. But she gave a testimony, a powerful testimony of her walk in faith. And her walk in faith that involved a number of things that, you know, we would identify as real breakdowns, not like a personal breakdown in her life, like an emotional or psychological breakdown. I mean, wow, what a broken circumstance and situation that God brought you through. Wow, what an incredible cross you carried and God saw you through. And I ended up saying, oh, let's pray together. She says, I pray for you every day. I pray for your family every day. And I said, thank you. I, you know, relish that. I desire that so much. And I said, oh, would you pray for this situation in our lives, Carrie, in my life, that is a real trial right now? It's a real difficulty. It's a challenge. And a family challenge, right? And so she's like, oh, and she gave these like very comforting words. And she said, absolutely, I'll pray for that. And when I asked, what can I pray for? She talked a bit about her living circumstances as an older woman who is in a home situation, not with her family, but in a situation where she could have more care, because she doesn't have as much independence as she used to be able to have because of her health. And she said, pray that I'd be able to pick up my cross every day and follow the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants from me. And she said it with such peace. She said it with such ease. There's a very important lesson that I teach my kids. It's the hard easy. It's the lesson of the difficult good, the bonum arduum, the arduous good, that the Lord has for us difficult goods that there are goods that he brings to our lives that require perseverance and courage, persistence, the willingness to undergo suffering and trials and difficulties, to press through, to carry our cross, that is a daily task. If you want to be my follower, you must pick up your cross every day and follow me. You must give up your life. You must abandon your life into my hands and follow me every day, carrying your cross. And that leads to the ultimate breakthrough. The ultimate breakthrough is heaven. The ultimate breakthrough is being cleansed and purified, that our faith is tried by fire and is purified and shines more beautiful than the purest gold. And the Lord then brings us through death into eternal life. Right? This is the final week of the liturgical year. We talk about death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And purgatory is a thing. And so the hard easy is, what's hard now and things will get easier, because virtue will then settle into your character, into the core of your being. And that will be your natural tendency, is a willingness to do the difficult thing, do the virtuous thing, do what is manifesting human excellence because of God's grace and because of a determined effort. It's God's grace, but it's also what you willed to do. And that phone call God used that phone call. God broke through to me to give me a message that I needed to hear and that Carrie needed to hear, because Sacred Heart Radio was not able to be heard. The breakdown of the transmission of that network was used by God to have this woman call. And then she wasn't able to get through. So she got my number and called me, and I called back. And it ended up being a beautiful ministry. This woman called, and she thought she received something from me and from Carrie. And maybe she did. You know, there was a mutuality there, but I received so much. It was such a beautiful, sweet thing. So my first message to you is, don't be surprised that the Lord uses breakdowns to get you to breakthroughs. That it is sometimes only when we face the stresses and pressures of the difficulty that we gain knowledge, we gain insight, we grow in humility. Oh, that was funny. That was one of the things she said. She said, "Tom, you've matured through the years." Compared to when you were at this 20 years ago, you've really matured. And she was saying, "I've become more humble." She didn't want to say it like that, but when I said it back to her like that, I said, "Yeah, I'm not nearly as arrogant and condescending as I used to be. Not intentionally. I kind of a know-it-all." And I said, it took the fire. It took the testings that broke us down for God to break through and to humble me, at least, well, to a higher degree than I was, right? I'm not saying I'm all the way there yet, but boy, I'm better than I was. So that was the first conversation. So the Lord, he has for you good things. He wants to break through in your life with good things. And in this season of the year, in this season where Christ is King, and we just celebrated that, Christ is King, and he's coming, that we ought to invite him to come into our lives more fully, that his kingdom would break through into our lives more fully, and that in that breakdown, it will lead to a breakthrough. It has been a big point of reflection on me more recently since Father John Ricardo came. Hopefully later in the program, I have a number of questions that I want to share with you that came from a conversation I had with him a year ago. And I will see if I can get around to those. That's sort of a safety net. If I have more time, I want to share with you some of those questions and answers, but I'm going to leave that on the sidelines for the moment and just say that it was such a delight to see him again in person and to visit a bit. And it got me reflecting more fully on how does the Lord break through? How does he break through into our lives to awaken in us a desire for holiness, a call to go deeper? And this has been a very timely thing. The readings, the Gospels, the readings at Mass, the readings in the Liturgy of the Hours have focused quite a bit on this theme of the last things, of these final realities. And just to stop and to get us to reflect on, one day we're going to be judged. One day our lives will be judged. That means there's going to be a measure how we lived our lives, right? The Gospels are in these recent days and in the last week or two have focused quite a bit on that theme, that we ought to be paying attention. We ought to be aware and reflecting on the truth that our life on earth here does end. And at a time that God knows, we will face Jesus Christ as our Lord. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. Okay, so we're going to face a judgment at the end of our lives, right? So that judgment means that we can, in fact, take the concept that we're going to be judged at the end of our lives, and we can apply that here and now to our lives. By the way, there's a sacrament that is akin to, that has an association with our own judgment. Do you know what that is? It's confession. In confession, we face a merciful judge. We face someone who is awaiting to show us mercy, to offer us forgiveness when we reveal, when we confess and accuse ourselves of the ways that we fall short. And what happens? The Lord is there to heal us, to reconcile us to himself, to spiritually resurrect us from the dead. That's what awaits us in the confessional. And one of the insights that is in our tradition is that making a regular confession is a beautiful and powerful means to giving you a sense of humble confidence that it's the Lord who has been meeting you in confession, who's the one who will meet you at the end of your life. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. There is a sense of fear that can sometimes haunt us in maybe a childish way. I don't say childlike, but a childish way. We can have a childish fear, infantile fear of Jesus as this monster ready to condemn us. And I think that John Paul II, he refers to it as the master. You'll see Jesus as and God in the image of a master rather than as a merciful father. If we don't have a sense of living faith in him, that he's waiting to show us mercy, and it's by making a regular confession that we will come to experience the consolation, the spiritual consolation, that when we fall short, and we do fall short, he's waiting to forgive you. He's waiting to forgive you. So as we move into Advent next week, I'll have a chance to talk a bit more about penance and going to confession, acts of repentance, those types of things to have a fruitful Advent. Let's stay in this week, in this final week of the liturgical year. And the second conversation I had was connected to judgment, but but in a surprising way, in a way that was more visionary, more, let's say, enthusiastic or encouraging. So on Friday night last week, I went to a play. It was the sophomore play at the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame. And my daughter Annalise is a sophomore. And so we went to it. And it was funny because practically, if we had thought better about it, we would have planned better. We would have gone on Thursday night to the play and then on Friday night to my other daughter's basketball game. As it was, we didn't plan so well. We got tickets for Friday night, the play, and so we ended up missing the game. I just say that to say, we were there by accident. No, we were there by design, by the Lord's providence. Show up and we walk in and we go to our seats on one side and we see someone, a daughter of a family that we knew from the Oaks. And it's like, oh my goodness, we haven't seen you in a couple of years. And I said, is your dad here? She says, yeah, I'm waiting for him to come in right now. And he comes through the door, sees me, and it's a bit of a reunion. Hey. And he said, I can't believe this. I was going to call you today. And I had in mind, he and I have, we connect people to each other. Like, oh, you would really benefit from talking with this guy. He's a very wise man. He's very experienced in the business world. He's been very successful, but he's a man of deep faith and desires to serve the Lord in a mighty way and has served the Lord himself with his wife and their families and the families they grew up in, right? And so I really always enjoyed the times that I've had a chance to talk with him. And so he's like, I was meaning to call you. And so it was like, let's get together, right? Let's get together. So on Sunday, we ended up going over their house. Our kiddos went over, our family went over for dinner, and we had an incredible conversation. But here's what happened. What happened was that the journey that I've been taking in this past 6 months associated with the Camino, this journey of how do I live a life that is more fully in accord with the ideal life that the Lord has for me? I don't want to settle for half measures. I don't want to settle for a life that is only partly in accord with God's best for my life, what he ideally wants from me. I want to be all in for the Lord, right? And what that means is that our time, our energy, our giftings, our wealth, our relationships, the things that we invest in, right? These are things that are honoring to God. And it's like, Lord, what else can I do for you? Lord, how can I be of service to you? Lord, where would you have me put my focus right now? But that kind of sentiment. And Lord, I want to strip away things that might be distractions. I want to strip away things that could be holding you back. That is the story I've been telling you. And I know you've heard it now, if you've been following this program over the last few months, that he's been going through the same thing. And crazy enough, he was in Spain at the same time I was there. Now, he wasn't walking the Camino. He was doing some traveling with his family to some great historical and holy sites on a type of pilgrimage around Western Europe. And he said, I've been praying for you every day. When I heard about the Camino, I've been praying for you every day and wanted to hear the stories. And so we're actually getting together today. So say a prayer for that meeting. Because as we shared on Sunday, and this was in just sort of the more broad context about what was going on in our lives, there were so many of corresponding like dynamics or an impetus, a movement happening in my heart and in my life, and it was happening in his too. And I haven't met somebody along this journey that I've been on who has had so many, yeah, me toos. There've been some people who are saying, oh, I would love to do that. Or, oh yeah, that's something that I think I need for my life. But I haven't met someone who is like they've rolled up their sleeves and they are figuring it out. How can I live my life with a greater sense of connection and a greater convergence between the life I'm living and the life that the Lord has for me? And so I'm excited to see what the Lord does in this conversation today. And not just my sharing, but in my listening. And so through our dialogue, I think that the Lord will have a wonderful gift for me there. Okay, I bring that up for two reasons. The first is, it's iron sharpens iron, brothers and sisters. Iron sharpens iron. We need brothers and sisters on the journey of faith. Men, you need brothers. Women, you need sisters. Couples, you need couples. Families, you need families to be able to lift us up and out of living mediocre lives. We need other families, other couples, other men, other women to walk together, to support each other, encourage each other, and yes, hold each other accountable to godly ideals. And I found a wonderful confirmation of that on Friday night. It was just a bit of it, but then when we had a chance to explore the conversation together in the family context on Sunday, and now I'm just really excited about today's conversation. And I'm thinking, that's a gift. And I want to thank the Lord for the gift of even the conversation that's happened so far. Pray for that. I see in my own life, it's something that when I had deep friendships, where I was in a stage of walking together, right? As a single young man, and I had this awakening of faith in my late teen years, the Lord had two really, really close friends, and there were other friends in the next circle out that walked with me very deeply in faith. And one of them today is a Discalced Carmelite friar, very holy priest of God, and my best friend, and from seventh grade on, and walked so far together. Thank you, Lord, for that gift of Father Mark. And then in the seminary, again, the Lord gave me great brothers in the Lord who would call each other on, strive for the heights, don't settle for less. I think Father Pat Smith, and he's the priest who ultimately married Carrie and me. He witnessed our vows. And so what a gift right there. And then when we moved out here and we were near Carrie's family out in the Seattle area for 20 years almost, and living our life of faith there, it was families in a men's group that it was iron sharpening iron. It was the Lord giving, again, brothers and giving me couples, and to say, have faith be at the center of the relationship. You're not meant to fight the battle alone. And I know that there are so many who are listening where there is a bit of an imbalance or a bit of a discrepancy between the faith of the husband and the faith of the wife. I would say it's more common for the faith of the wife to be stronger, but I have also seen times and occasions where it was the faith of the husband that was stronger and the wife was on the sidelines or resistant. And in either of those circumstances, it's a very difficult thing. It's an additional cross and an additional source of suffering. But you're not meant to walk through that alone. You're just not. And so in order to arrive at the heights, it's not a matter of, I need to have my whole family in order. I need to have everything be at peace and everything beautiful and shiny. In fact, the greatest advances that I see Carrie and I ever make in our married life were through the hardest times. Oh, okay, did you hear that? Do you want to advance in faith? Yes. Do you want me to pray for you to advance in faith more than you ever have before? Do you want that? Do you want the hard? If I said, do you want the hard times? Do you want a big cross? Do you want something that's going to break you down? That's going to finally bring about a surrender? He's going to twist your arm. The Lord's going to spiritually twist your arm behind your back until you say, I surrender. I give up. Well, if we want that resurrected life on the other side, if we want the more ideal life, if we want the life that is not half measures, then we ought to expect that there will be an expression of that desire in our prayer, but the Lord will bring it about through some serious humbling, some serious falling to our knees and crying out for some help and some support from the Lord, right? And then even relying on others as well. So I bring that up to you lastly because this is a theme connected to judgment. Do you want to avoid thinking about the reality that your life will be judged? And what's the life the Lord will judge you? Right. So it's, I've shared this with you before, but nobody knows for sure. However, very holy saints and the church teaching outlines certain principles, certain insights about the nature of judgment. And what do we know? We know that you'll face Jesus Christ in your own individual judgment. Now, the question is, what happens when you look Jesus in the eyes? We often tend to think it's, okay, here's a book, and he's going to look in the book. Did you commit any, are there any mortal sins on your soul or just venial sins on your soul? And okay, no mortal sins. Okay, you're in, but look at all those venial sins and the damage that you need to make up for. Okay, in purgatory you go. Really hot shower, right? All right, this is the flames that'll cleanse you, and hopefully you won't be in there too long. let's make it a little bit more personal. So if you go a little deeper into the realm of theological speculation on the basis of our faith and what the church teaches, there's a way of describing the last judgment as Jesus in the judgment revealing to you what he intended you to become, who he intended you to be, and what he intended for you to do. You hear me say how often God has called you to be a saint and fulfill a God-given mission. Maybe not a capital S saint like Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis. Praise God, they're both becoming saints next year. But you are called to grow in holiness, to that perfection of charity, and you are called to fulfill a mission that is yours. It has your name on it. And that's what will be revealed to you. And you'll get to see who you are intended to be and what you are intended to do. And that will be the measure against the life you actually lived and who you actually became. That discrepancy is your judgment. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Isn't this a happy program talking about judgment? But you can see, if the last judgment is, in fact, coming before Christ, and you will have put before you the life that you lived, and it'll be done in comparison to the life that you ought to have lived. God has graced you and called you to live. And the only thing that will bridge that gap is God's mercy. And our hope and prayer is that we live a life where we call upon God's mercy. We receive God's mercy, and in doing so, we receive the merciful entrance into eternal life with him. Okay, doesn't that or does that motivate you at all to say, if that's the judgment that is going to be put on my life at the end of time, at the end of my life, why wouldn't I want to figure that out right now? Why wouldn't I want to say, Lord, please judge my life right now. Please reveal to me the judgment that you have on my life right now. All right. I want you to hear that. Lord, please look me in the eyes spiritually in prayer and reveal to me somehow, break through my deafness and make clear to me the discrepancy that exists between the life I'm living and the life you intend for me, who I'm becoming and what I'm doing. Please, Jesus, I don't want to wait for the judgment that happens at the end of my life. I want it to happen now. I want to close that gap. I want to use the time that remains to redeem what there is capable of being redeemed so that I will come into this deeper, more perfect correspondence and realization between who I am and who you willed me to be. Oh, that's what the Camino was. It was that 10x life. It was that life that was a fuller, more magnanimous, more generous, more courageous pursuing of Jesus's ideal for my life. I want in on that. So in this week of the year, I know we're coming up to Thanksgiving, and that's like a happy time, and turkeys and all that other stuff and family stuff. Go into your prayer space. Go into your time of prayer and maybe make that courageous prayer. Lord, judge my life. Jesus, please communicate to me the gap that exists, and please give me the grace to know how to close it and to give me the strength to do that. So I'm committed to do that. I'm in. Do that with me. All right. So there we go. That'll be my conversation later today. Okay. There's a part B to this. Your death, when you die, you'll face Jesus in judgment. Hopefully, again, a merciful judge ready to welcome you home to heaven. That's what his will is for you. What about at the end of time? What about that thing called the last judgment? When Christ comes again, game over. Right? The second coming of Christ, you're not going to hear about it on the internet. There's not going to be some live streaming. Jesus has returned and he's there in the temple. That's not how it happens. Okay, I want you to imagine standing on a open space in maybe on a seashore with the great vista of the ocean, or high up, and so you can see a great vista of like from a mountain peak across a long distance. Okay, now I want you to look up to the sky. Maybe it's at night, and you can see a beautiful open night sky. Now I want you to imagine like that entire like breadth of the universe that you see, like from end to end. Now I want you to imagine it just gets ripped open. It gets ripped open, and there's God. There's Jesus. Okay, there you go. That's the second coming. It's game over. Rip open the heavens. Jesus is here with billions of angels and saints coming in glory. And here we are. Right? I think all those videos that you'll see, these like digitally generated or produced videos that show you how small the earth is, where it, you know, starts with you and then it kind of goes out to your little locale, and then right, it goes to your planet and then the solar system, and then it goes out to the galaxy and the other galaxies. And okay, I get it. I'm small. Okay, yeah, you try to take that idea and you stand up and you experience the wonder of creation, and then it all of a sudden just gets torn open, and it's just the infinity of God. Christ has returned. Okay, now you're going to be judged. Okay, that individual judgment, that was you and Jesus. Now, tradition says also your guardian angel's there. Now, your guardian angel had a task to get you there, right? To get you home safe. But your guardian angel's also going to be a witness. Yeah, I was there. I saw what he did. Dang. Your guardian angel, he's not going to... Oh, there's no getting away with anything. Guardian angel sees everything. All right. It's kind of like Carrie said to me the other day, something that I would say in talks and heard in talks given to young people. How would you feel if Jesus was next to you watching that show? How would you feel if Jesus was with you when you went on that date? How would you feel if Jesus was with you when you were in that conversation with your buddies? And would anything change about that? Would you be watching that show? Would you be doing that stuff? Would you be saying those things? That's kind of like at the last judgment, or in your own particular judgment. The last judgment, though, oh man, your life is going to be on display before every living being. I don't know how that's all going to happen. You know, if it's going to be one after the other, there's billions of people that have been alive. I guess we're not in a hurry. Listen to this. This is the catechism. Because I want you to know what's the difference between your own individual judgment and the judgment that happens at the end of time. What's the difference, right? Are there people who made it to heaven and their individual judgment, and then they get to the last judgment and they're kicked out? No. Is there someone who gets sent to hell in their individual judgment, and at the end of time, they're all of a sudden magically rescued out of hell and now they're in heaven? No, that's not it either. Well, what's the difference? What is the difference then between your individual judgment when you die and the end of time when everyone, all of history, comes before God and your life is on display for every single human being? That means your spouse. That means your parents. That means your siblings. That means your kids and your grandkids. They're going to see everything. Be aware of that. That might motivate you to live a holier life. All right. What's the difference? Here it is. Paragraph 1039 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. The last judgment, now listen to this, the last judgment will reveal, even to its furthest consequences, the good each person has done or failed to do during his earthly life. At the last judgment, you're not only going to be judged on the life that you lived, but on the consequences, the entailments, the downstream impacts of the life you lived. It will reveal to its furthest consequences the good each person has done or failed to do during his life. Okay, what does that mean? I'm aware of this when I, for instance, am driving and I cut someone off. I take a turn into traffic and I get somebody really mad and they get angry and they swear, right? Did I cause them to swear? No, I can't cause them to swear, but I certainly created the conditions that made it easy for them to go downhill and swear and lose their temper. All right, so I had an impact on their life. Where did that impact go? What happened next? Well, that person maybe got so upset, set them off, that they then went home and they started speaking harshly to their loved ones. I didn't cause that to happen, but I had an impact on that. I stirred that activity into existence. And who knows, you could begin to see, who knows what that does, the impact it has on those kids. And then those kids begin to have a certain propensity and impact in terms of how they're living their lives. And then all of a sudden they're growing up and it's, how are they treating people? Now, all right, that's like a pebble. That's a pebble, me turning, you know, cutting someone off in traffic. But you begin to think about the life you're living with the people that are around you. You hear about what's a leader. A leader influences people to move in a certain direction. You're influencing people in one direction or another by how you live your life. More on this in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, so I'm talking about judgment and the idea that our lives will be judged one day. And there's a difference between that judgment when we die and the judgment that happens at the end of time. And I'm reading the Catechism, paragraph 1039, that says that the last judgment will reveal, even to its furthest consequences, the good that we've done or that we've failed to do. Okay. I talked about doing something bad, right? That I talked about, cutting someone off in traffic or speaking harshly and having bad habits like that. But it also is about the good things we've done. Just as a, for instance, I think of somebody like St. Francis of Assisi. When you think about the good he did on earth when he was alive and when he died, the good that he had done was significant. No, actually, it was incredible. It's outstanding, the holy life he lived. Well, think about the good that he released into history, the holiness that he released into history. Since then, the number of religious communities and orders that have been inspired by his life, the number of Franciscans, of many in this different families of Franciscans who took their inspiration by reading his life, hearing about his life, asking for his intercession, attempting to imitate him. It's stunning. It's stunning. He got to see none of that when he was alive. At the time of his death, there was big questions about what was going to happen to the future of the Franciscan order. And by the end of the 13th century, 75 years later, there were 100,000 Franciscans, so historians say. That's incredible. And let's go forward 700 years, and it still continues. And you could, again, pick a number of saints and do the same kind of thing. Look at the good that they've done and the consequences that it's had. So does yours. It does. So does yours. Your stewardship of your life, of your time, your treasure, your talent is going to release into history some good, maybe some difficult goods, maybe some magnificent goods. They are going to be manifest at the last judgment. It'll be seen what you did, what you gave in secret, how you poured yourself out for others in loving ways. They have an impact. And also the good that we failed to do. Now, this passage, 1039 in the Catechism, it references right after the part that I read, the story of Matthew 25, the Last Judgment. And it was the idea of those who recognized, those didn't even recognize Jesus, right? That when did I see you, right? When Christ comes in his glory. And whenever you did this, for the least of my brothers, you did it for me. And when you didn't do this, the point is that the judgment that happened on their lives, it happened not because of any sins of commission. They weren't condemned because you did so many bad things. What led them to be condemned were sins of omission. You failed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, take care of the sick. It was an omission that led to a condemnation. We better think a bit more about that. I think that, well, speaking for myself, it's easier for me to say, I'm doing all right. Me and Jesus, we're doing all right because I'm doing a lot of stuff for Jesus. And the question is, how many ways is Jesus coming close to me and I am not taking those actions? I am omitting what the Lord is asking me to do. And I'm wondering whether these sins of omission might be associated with an attitude of distraction. Maybe it's not that I am willfully saying, I omit doing this. I refuse to do this. But I'm so busy. I'm so distracted. I'm so engaged elsewhere that it doesn't even dawn on me that I'm supposed to be doing this. Brothers and sisters, I don't want that to be my legacy. I do not want that to be the downstream impact that gets revealed in front of you all at the end of time. Here's the thing. You and I, we're going to be there one day. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not just some kind of speculative thing. There will be a final judgment, and our lives, yours and mine, will be judged. And well, one of the things that's going to come up at that judgment is this conversation. I'm not saying this conversation is it applies to your life. I do mean that too, but it applies to my life as well, both of our lives. Unfortunately, we've heard it, so now we're accountable. Yeah, sorry. That's what happens sometimes. We all of a sudden become aware of things. And once we're aware of things, there's another degree of responsibility and accountability for us to do something about it. So there we go. We have to be careful about what we allow ourselves to take in, because now all of a sudden we are going to be called upon to be stewards. So this happens in little things, right? Like little things. Like, are you praying today? Are you going to take some time and pray today? You can. Please don't tell me you don't have time to pray today. No matter how busy you are, if you don't have time to busy, you're too, you know, if you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. Right? Take time and pray and come before the Lord and ask the Lord to judge your life, to judge it with his merciful eyes. Say you want a breakthrough, but Lord, I want a breakthrough, but I don't want a big breakdown. Please. Is there any way that you can get me a big breakthrough without a massive breakdown? Please, can you give me the grace to more fully conform to the life you have for me? Because I'm willing and I'm asking and I'm knocking and I'm saying, yes, Jesus, please judge my life and reveal to me the distance that exists between the life I'm living and the life you have for me. Please reveal to me the omissions that are part of my life, the omissions. Lord, I'm aware of the commissions, at least to some degree. So Lord, reveal to me the commissions, the sins I'm committing that I'm failing to be aware of and take seriously and repent of and change my life. By the way, that's Advent stuff. I'll get around to that. This is about judgment right now. And so this is all about, Lord, I don't really want a very long purgatory. I don't want a long purgatory where there's this, why didn't I take care of this when I was alive? Why didn't I do something about this when I was alive? And you know what the saints say? Do it now because you get merit. Do it now because it actually leads you to a higher place in heaven. Do it now because, hey, you can live a 10 gold coin life and get 10 cities, right? Why do you want to live a 5 gold coin life? That the Lord, the nobleman has entrusted you, his servant, with a gold coin. Don't bury it. Don't bury it in your busyness. Don't bury it in your distractions. Don't bury it in your fear that you might let the Lord down. No. Engage in trading is what Jesus says in the parable. Engage in the trading that the Lord has put in front of you. Be a good steward of it. And then bring it back before him and say, Lord, the results are all yours. They're all for you, right? I have this secret conspiracy theory that the guy that had the 5 gold coins, he actually also made 10, but he used 5 for himself. They say, hey, that one you gave me, it got you 5, when actually it got you 10. But I'm kind of hedging my bets and I'm kind of keeping 5 for myself. Now, that's not in the scriptures. It's in my own personal reflection on the scriptures, how we will easily be tempted to use the gold coin that God's given to us in our lives for our own benefits first. And honestly, yes, the Lord does bless you with good things because he loves you and he does want you to enjoy good things. But he also intends for you to have those good things lead you to holiness in the fulfillment of your God-given mission. And that's where the rubber meets the road for us to be willing to let our lives be put into question and to say, Lord, please, that gold coin that you've given to me in my life, I want a 10 gold coin life. I want a 10 cities life. I don't want to make 10 gold coins and then use 5 for myself. So I say to you in advance that the 10 gold coins that come to me from the stewardship that you've given to me, all 10 are yours. Not 5, not 3, not 1, all 10. They're all yours. And so I really want that kind of merciful breakthrough, gentle breakthrough to a more magnanimous, generous life. Please let it happen now. In your mercy and kindness, judge my life now before I face you at the end of my life. That's what I want. Amen. I guess that's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, there we go. I'm at the end of my time. God bless you. Join me tomorrow. God bless.